Morning. I'm glad you're here. I was thinking this week, almost every person I ran into and talked to, they were going to be gone this weekend, and I thought, I wonder if anybody will be here on Sunday. So I'm glad that you're here. Are you glad you're here? Amen. Do you believe that God has something good for you today? I don't know. When we were away so much this summer, there's an excitement to be back and to just come with expectancy that, you know, God is going to do something in us and through us, and God wants to meet with us when we come and gather together to honor Him and glorify Him as His church. Amen. And so I'm always excited on a Sunday or whenever we get together, but I just love Sunday mornings that we can gather and we can go after all that He has for us and all that He is going to do. And so this morning we're just going to continue with where my dad left off in Mark. So we're going to start in Mark chapter 5 and pick up with the next story there. If you have it, you can throw it up there. All right. So we'll read it together. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had... Sorry, I can just read it myself. I don't know if that came across wrong. I'll read the story myself because we'll get lost. It's long. All right. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 of them. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who had fed the swine fled, and they told it to in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him, so with Jesus, to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. This is one of the stories in the Bible that I get a lot of questions when I read it. And can we just pray for a sec? Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the truth that's in it. And I just pray that you would speak to us through your word today, that you would help us to understand more, to have a deeper revelation of who we are and what your word is saying to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this story is like straight out of a Steven Spielberg movie, if you ask me. Like, it's out there, you know? And so here's this guy who has been caught many times, and they cannot confine him, all right? He rips chains apart, all right? It's a supernatural thing that's going on, right? He is able to rip chains. He has extra normal strength. He's demon-possessed, and he is going around cutting himself, living in tombs, living in caves. And it's a pretty kooky kind of a scene. Would you agree? And I was talking to my dad the other day, and I said that I've never actually spoke about this whole kind of thing in my life. So I thought it was a good challenge. But, you know, as Christians, we often shy away from some of this stuff, right? It's like, well, that's a hard one to talk about. Let's just keep going, because healing is next, and it's fun to talk about. And so the next story is, you know, the woman coming and touching Jesus' hem of his garment and being healed. And so there's something about this, though, that we can't ignore. And this, you know, in our culture, in Canadian culture especially, I think we often just shy away from this stuff. Where if you go to Africa, it's normal. They're used to that kind of stuff going on. They're used to witch doctors. They're used to the occult, and they're used to seeing people. I remember when I was there, you saw people walking around that sounded much like this guy is described. All right, here they end up in a padded room with a lot of medication, and people try to control them. And so it's a different story. But we read some of these scriptures, and we go, yeah, and then we move on to the next one. But I really feel that there's some important things that we need to learn. There's a million questions that come up in my mind when I read this story. Like, how does all this work, and how does it apply to us? And we see an example of Jesus saying, come out, you unclean spirit. He gives us an example of how we take authority and how we command spirits to leave. It gives us an example that evil spirits do exist, that they can influence and will influence us. I dismissed them, didn't I? They're gone. So I've been reading Luke chapter 4 a lot the last little while. And if you have your Bibles, just flip there. I didn't put the whole thing up there. But Luke chapter 4, I think, has kind of a correlation with this. And what we see Jesus came to do is he proclaims in Luke chapter 4 what he came to do. And it's echoing out of Isaiah. But we see in Luke chapter 4, right at the start of the chapter, that Jesus has just been affirmed. Before chapter 4, he's been affirmed by his Father, saying, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased. He's been baptized. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? And then the Bible says that in Luke chapter 4 that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And for 40 days, the enemy came to tempt him. And so Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days. And the enemy tried to tempt him in several different ways. And I don't have time to go into the significance of those different ways. But the enemy went after his identity, went after his future, went after his calling, and used small parts of truth to try and get Jesus to jump into something he shouldn't have before time. Amen? He was saying, the kingdom is yours if you want. You're all the kingdoms. You know, you can have them if you worship me. And he's trying to get him to shortcut. And so it's a classic example of how the enemy loves and knows how to attack us. All right? And there's something, this message, I don't want to at all by any means glorify the darkness. I really do not want to. But it also is important to understand our enemy. Would you agree? There's something important about that and strategic about that. And so we can learn from reading some of these stories. We can learn from what we've seen. And so Jesus in this uses scripture every time in the truth to combat the lie of the enemy and how he's trying to just twist a little bit, you know. And so what we see out of that story is that Jesus comes out of there and it says he's full of the Holy Spirit. And he goes to his hometown. He goes to the synagogue and he pulls out the scroll and we have it here. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And the mic could have dropped, the pin could have dropped in that room. And all eyes were on him because everybody knew what he was saying, that he was announcing that I'm the Messiah and I'm here. And the time is now. And so what's amazing is that then you see the rest of that chapter that Jesus goes out and he begins to cast out demons and heal the sick. The Bible says that everybody that came to him, he laid hands on them, they were healed. And you flip to the story in Mark chapter 5 where we're on and you see that this is Jesus' mission. It was his mission that he came to show us, that he healed the sick and then he cast out demons, he set the captives free, and he calls us to guess what? Do the same. And the more and more and more that I study the Gospels, the more I feel like it's compelling us to be involved in this. This is not something that was for back then. This is not something that just a few people are involved in. But this is a call that God has for us as a Christian, period. And it is to go and make disciples. And part of that making disciples of nations is by helping people be healed, to be set free, and to be whole so they can pursue Jesus. Would you agree? Amen? Anybody watch the fight last night? Couple people. Not very many are going to admit it. I went on YouTube last night before I went to bed just to try and catch the end to see who won. But anybody not know there was a fight going on last night? Okay, so for those who don't watch media at all, there's been this kind of hyped up massive thing going on for the last forever. And it's bad because I don't even know the guy's full name, but Conor McGregor was a UFC champion, former champion. And is it Floyd Mayweather? Undefeated boxer, best boxer, basically, they say, of all time. That's debatable, I know, but He's been undefeated. And so last night I checked before going to bed, and these two guys, so Conor McGregor's offered to get in the ring with Floyd Mayweather, and he would actually box instead of, he's a UFC fighter, so instead of doing all the kicking and all the other stuff, he would just box. And it went 10 rounds, which is way longer than anybody ever held out hope for Conor McGregor. And he did lose, even though, you know, he was the underdog, he did lose. But there was an incredible amount of hype, incredible amount of money, an incredible amount of, you should, like, if you were online at all or watching anything on TV for the last, especially like week or two, every radio show, it's like, well, this guy's going to win because of this, and this guy's going to win because of that, and this is going to happen. And there was a lot of hype around the fight. And, you know, the Bible describes that we are also in a fight spiritually. And it may not be that we're boxing, but we are going round after round with the enemy. And just like in the story of Luke 4, the Bible says that the enemy left Jesus until another opportune time. And the enemy looks for opportune times to go after us. And he studies, he watches, and he knows that when we get tired, when we get too busy, he knows the right times to get in there and try and attack us, right? Try and tempt us, try and help us to stumble and to fall, and try and speak lies into our ear that hopefully we'll believe. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, I think we have it up there. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But there's the armor of God that we have, that we are in a fight, and we're described as a soldier. Paul was in jail at the time of writing this, and Paul had a history of breaking out of jail. Well, God would break him out of jail. All the apostles had this history that, you know, so they had a lot of guards outside of the jail making sure that Paul didn't get away. And so Paul was looking at these guys every day. And so he uses this example when he writes it, and he shows the illustration of a soldier and the armor that we have, the sword that we have, the everything, the entire outfit, and it relates to the equipment that God gives us, the weapons that God gives us to fight and defend ourselves against the attacks of the enemy. And so we're called to put it on every day. And the Bible reminds us that it's not against flesh and blood that we fight, but against powers, principalities. All right, there is a spiritual realm that, whether we like it or not, is influencing us all the time. And we have to be ready to combat it. We have to be ready to deal with it. Amen? Okay, so it says in 1 Peter 5, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And that's, I think I've used the illustration before. That's why I believe that church is so powerful, and that God created church so that we would have families, so that we could be a part of a body that holds each other up and holds each other accountable and basically carries one another when someone is weak. Because if you've watched any of the YouTube videos of over in Africa where a lion comes along, they have a million of these you can scroll through and watch. The lion waits for its moment, sees a weak one, a sick one, or a young one, and jumps in there and takes them out. And he's looking for people that are not strengthened in their spirit, that are weak, that are worn out, that are not going to church, they're not plugged in, they're, you know what I mean? Those kind of people that can just get out there, and then he wants to wipe you out. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In whatever shape, whatever form he can do it, he's going to do it. That's his goal. He doesn't like you. He's not your friend. All right? Demons are mentioned 61 times in the Gospels alone, which is pretty significant. And, you know, Jesus was constantly involved in deliverance and in healing. That was his mission. Like I said, that's our mission. That's what we are called to. And just if you're really not familiar with this, just a quick kind of a history. The devil was called Lucifer. He was a cherubim, a covering angel. He led worship in heaven. He was a big deal. And he decided to rebel against God, and him and every angel that rebelled with him were cast down to the earth. And so, and that's why God actually created us to fill that void, to worship him, to cover the throne with worship. And that's because that gap was filled. And so God actually uses us to complete an assignment that the enemy had, and he hates it. And that's why he hates you, and that's why he hates all of us, because God created us, and we fulfilled his role, what he had. And he's jealous, and he doesn't like it. And so the Bible talks about several different types of evil, if you want to put it that way. There is a governance, there's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers, there's demons, there's dominions, there's... And I don't know that from what we see in the Bible, you can 100% lay it out and say it's... Like, we like black and white stuff, right? Like, this is the definition, period. And this is how they work, period. And this is how it's done, period. And it's not like that. It just isn't. And it's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with a lot of spiritual things. We as soon as we think we've figured it out, we have to realize we know nothing. And so there is a lot of, the only one rule is this: he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. That Jesus has conquered him, and then he has lost all his authority. And that is one thing you can take to the bank, that you have the authority as a Christian over him. So you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to fear. Amen? And I think that's so important to understand. You know, basically demons are a bodiless being looking for a host. And so when we open our lives up to that, we can be tormented. We can, you know, we cannot be owned like the person in this story, because if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit owns you. But we can still open our life to be tormented and oppressed. And it's as simple as there are areas in my life that I can hold back from God if I want to. Even though I've become a Christian and I say, Jesus, you are my Lord, I can also go flip on the TV and watch stuff I shouldn't. Or I can say things to my wife that I shouldn't. Or I can, and in that sense, I can open a door. Do you agree? You understand? Does that make sense? And so we have to be careful. And I want to get into that a little bit this morning. And I'm just going to go until we're done. And then I'll finish it next time I preach, because I got lots of stuff I could say. But C.S. Lewis and several people actually have said that the danger we face today is one of two things with the spiritual realm. Number one, many people just flat out don't believe that the devil or his demons are real. And that they, and especially that they affect us as Christians today. And people, you know, when we aren't aware of the enemy, we don't find the freedom available to us, because we just don't stay alert, like Paul tells us to. We don't, you know, zone in on this is maybe what's happening because of a spiritual attack, you know, and we get mad at people instead of realizing that there's probably the enemy behind that, trying to get them to say that or do that to you. It's not even that person. It's somebody whispering in your ear, say this, do this. Would you agree? And so sometimes we can get totally, have relationships destroyed. We can have things go really sour in our life because we look at a person and don't understand that there's something spiritual behind it. And if you blame that person, get mad at them, it doesn't do you any good. What you need to understand is that, okay, I need to spiritually respond to this because it's a spiritual thing going on. And when you do that, when you take authority and say, okay, no more in Jesus' name, or I will not agree with that lie, or I will not believe what that person is saying because I know what's behind it, then you can be free, and so can they. Does that make sense? So it's actually very, you know, dangerous to just ignore, like, ignorance is bliss kind of a thing. That's a dangerous place to be. How many of us would feel that we are actually paying attention spiritually week after week, day after day, that, you know, stuff is happening, that you notice that there is another realm there that we interact with, whether we like it or not. And, you know, we might not be running around naked in the streets of Maple Creek, thank goodness. But how many of us know that sometimes we are oppressed, we are basically in chains emotionally, spiritually, because of the things we do, because of what we believe, because of what we say. And we need to be set free. We need to be set free. And Jesus came to do that. It's the subtle lies. You know, the enemy very rarely does that Mark 5 stuff, okay? What he likes to do is the subtle stuff. So it's a little whisper like, hey, you did a terrible job today standing in front of all those people sharing a boat. You should never do that again. Hey, your hair doesn't look that good today. You shouldn't go out in public. So, you know, I'm kidding. But have you ever been there? Okay? It's the little whispers, the little subtle things, and what the enemy was wanting you to do is to totally believe a lie. That, you know what, I can't do that. You know what, I should never talk in public again. You know what, I should never have the courage to speak out to somebody to say, hey, God loves you again, because look what happened, they rejected me. Or whatever it might be, the enemy wants to take you out. He wants to steal your identity, and he wants to take a little bit of truth and twist it so that you go the wrong way. So we need to know that. We need to understand that everything we're involved in, you know, we go and we involved in our business or whatever it might be. God's involved with it, but so is the enemy. He wants to destroy you in any way he can. He wants to make your life miserable. I think of when I've been at the hospital sometimes with the amulets and just the negativity sometimes. And it's like, there's such a spiritual thing going on in that place sometimes, you know? And it's like, I can walk away out of there really negative, or I can understand that there's a spiritual thing going on and I need to pray into it. And it's the same thing wherever we work, right? When we work with people, stuff happens, right? No? I don't know who you work with, but, you know, My dad's perfect. Just kidding. But there is a spiritual battle wherever we go. And whether it's with our family, with our kids, with our spouse. How many of you have ever woke up and wanted to just blast your spouse for some reason, right? Nobody. Wow. Me neither. I mean, I'd never do that, you know. But there's a spiritual realm at work. And if the enemy can just put a wedge between you and your spouse, he's going to do it. And if he can do it between you and your kids, he's going to do it, right? And so that's number one, just ignorance is bliss. Number two is that people become very hypersensitive and afraid of a demon being underneath every pew and behind every rock and every bad thing that ever might happen. Oh, that the devil made me do it. You know, it was the demons. It was, and we can take that way too far the other way. Do you agree? And so what we need to do is know the truth. The truth of who God says we are, who God says we are as his children, how we are protected, how we're covered, and the way that we can look in the Bible and see how darkness interacts with light. And we can understand that we have authority. The Bible says he gave us all authority to tell every evil to go, every evil spirit. And so we actually don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in bondage to that. And we can just say, in Jesus' name, get out of here. And we have to live with that confidence. Otherwise, fear will knock at your door every moment of every day. What's going to happen to me next? What's going to happen to me next? I read a book by Chris Valton. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, I think I put it up there, and I haven't checked this, but he says that the word it uses there, it says, we're used to saying, consider the spiritual gifts, right? Concerning the spiritual gifts. And he says in the original language, the gifts actually isn't there. It should say, concerning the spiritual brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That we actually need to understand the spiritual realm. And what Paul goes on to use is the spiritual gifts as an example of how the spiritual realm works, how we interact with it. Now, I haven't checked that, but I thought it was an interesting insight, if it is true, that we need to be aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm around us, in our families, in our homes. We need to be able to pray into it. Jill and I, at different times, have gone. We've anointed with oil everything around our property, in our home. We anoint the doorways, the windows in our house, and we pray God's blessing and protection. We plead his blood over it. We don't have time to go into it today, but if you look in the Old Testament at the whole thing with the Jews in Egypt and how they were rescued, they painted the blood as a sign of protection, covering, welcoming in the Lord, and keeping the evil out. And so there are times that we need to do that. I remember one time when we first moved here, I found one of those little stick dolls with the old thing in the back of it. And there are people that don't like you because you're a Christian. And there are people that they submit their life to the enemy, just like we submit our lives to God. And so that stuff is as real can be. You just can't ignore it, all right? Many of us will acknowledge that there's an unseen realm intellectually, but many of us struggle to really believe and engage with what's going on. And so, somebody said that talking to people about the spiritual realm is a little bit like talking to people about germs in the 1800s, you know, that understand that you need to wash your hands or you could get sick. And people would be like, I don't see anything, you know. And so it's kind of like that. Have you ever just had random rage for no reason? Ever had a random thought like, man, I should just kill myself. My family would be better off without me. Just some kind of weird, off-the-wall, random thoughts like that. Anybody? Just hold up your hand. Yeah, look around. No, hold up your hand high. Okay. Almost everybody has some kind of random, weird stuff like that happen sometimes. All right? And in those moments, don't be like, oh, I'm crazy. Understand that when thoughts like that come, it's not from God. That's not God's heart. That's not his character. And then you can recognize, okay, I know what's going on here. This is a spiritual oppression, torment, that the enemy is just trying to get me to do something I shouldn't. And be able to recognize, okay, I need to engage with the spiritual realm and take authority. Say enough in Jesus' name. Okay? All right. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And there's a few of these, Luke chapter 10 as well, but Jesus calls his disciples, his 12 disciples, to him. He gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every sickness and disease. All right? So Jesus died on the cross, and he has gone and taken the authority that the enemy had. We gave the enemy authority when Adam and Eve sinned, right? We were meant to rule and reign on the earth. We gave the enemy authority. Jesus died on the cross and took that authority back. He reclaimed it, and now he says it's yours. I've given you authority over sickness, over disease, over death. And so that's something that as a Christian we need to understand, not just in our head, but in our heart. We need to actually practically walk it out. Understand that when stuff happens, when stuff goes on, we can take authority and say no in Jesus' name. And it's not you, it's not me, it's Jesus in us. It's his name. And it's at his name that the enemy must bow and must flee. The only authority that the enemy has over you is what you give him. And so, just quickly here to end for the next few moments, how do we give him authority? And how do we be set free? And I don't want to go into too much of it, but quite simply, we can give the enemy authority in our life when we believe the lies that he speaks to us. We can give him authority when we dabble in things that we shouldn't, when we open doors. So things like the occult, witchcraft, and that entire list and gamut that goes with it. Anything that opens us spiritually to anything that's not God. All right. So even things like hypnotism, things like yoga, things like a lot of the video games today, because you're playing with chants and spells and you need to be very, very cautious. All right. Things we watch, things we listen to. Am I saying that every time you do any of that stuff or any of that happens that you're going to be demonized? No, but you're opening a door and you have to be careful. And so be aware. Be aware of what you're engaging with. Be aware of what you're being involved with. Generationally, like you can have stuff like this. If you had an ancestor that was into the Masons, into witchcraft, all that kind of stuff, there can be things passed down that affect you today because of that. I don't have time to go into stories, but there's a lot of stories about people who have finally found that, you know, my great grandma or my mom did this and partnered with this, and now I'm struggling the same way. And when they're finally able to discover it, break it off, they're free. Okay, but there's a process we have to go through. And so there's a lot of, you know, I was reading a guy called Carlos Anacondia. Have you ever heard of him? He was a major evangelist in Argentina, South America, and he'd do these massive crusades. And they would actually have what they called the deliverance tent at all of his crusades, and they had people trained to pray for deliverance over people. And people would come to these meetings and start to manifest demonic stuff. And he says that over the years, their staff, when they've done statistics and followed up with people, they say 70% of the people that suffer spiritual problems and end up in our tent of deliverance have hatred, anger, roots of bitterness in their hearts, and these are the main causes of sickness, like physical sickness and oppression in people's lives. The vast majority receive physical healing when they find inner healing through forgiveness. That's what he says. And I think that's very true. I've been reading several books about this stuff, and fear and unforgiveness are like the two things that when we can open that door, and it just gives the enemy a free heyday on us because we hold on to this stuff in our heart. Ephesians chapter 4 says, just gives us a glimpse that what we do can actually have impact and allow the enemy to have a foothold. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Okay, so there's things like that we can do that open a door for us to struggle. And it's, you know, just very quickly, the spiritual realm operates much like a court system. So when you give legal access and legal right, the enemy says, I have the right now to go torment you because of what you've done. And the moment that you say, renounce being involved in witchcraft or the occult, or renounce the anger and the bitterness, whatever it might be that you've been, what's been going on in your life, that legal door shuts. And then there's no more right for that enemy to be there, and you're free. And so there's a process we have to go through to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And sometimes it's very, very, very obvious, you know. My dad gave me this book I started reading yesterday by Robert Morris called Truly Free. And he talks in there about three things, warning signs, that you might be struggling with depression. And one of them, he shares a story of how he always was injured, like continuously. He had broken bones and was in the hospital for one thing after another his entire life. And he actually basically cursed his own body. He said, I hate my body and I hate that I'm always too small and weak and I'm always getting hurt. And it was in that moment that God spoke to him and said, it's because you don't love yourself. This is happening. And God walked him through a process to be set free. But if you notice, and it's not like, oh, I broke a bone 5 years ago, I must be something wrong, okay? This was a continual, like, something odd here, okay? And same thing with, he says, with habitual sin that you can't break out of. And not just like, oh, I sin a bunch of different ways, but I'm always angry, always. Or I always lust all the time, or I'm always jealous, and there's a specific area that it's like you cannot break free from. He says that's a sign that there's probably something spiritual behind that you need to break free from. And the other one, of course, is that if you've dabbled with the occult at all, it's just a wide open door. And there's just so many of those things that we just need to be aware of. And so I would like if we can invite the worship team to come back. And I just want to take a few moments today to go after being set free in our hearts. And I think I'll just finish this. I'll finish this another time. So in Ephesians 6, where it talks about how we are to cover ourselves with the armor of God, to put it on and to prepare ourselves for the day. One of the things the enemy wants to do is it talks about flaming darts, all right, in verse 16. And these are thoughts that are designed to ensnare us and entice us into doing something foolish, all right? And so he comes after us. He wants us to speculate things like, what if I have cancer? What if my daughter is going to rebel? What if this? What if that? And we start asking those kind of questions, right? And where does that type of question ever lead? It just leads into a big gaping hole of despair, doesn't it? Because there's, well, what if this is going to happen? And sometimes we have to be careful, you know. What do you call them, hypochondriacs? You know, you wake up, I have a new pain. What if I'm dying? Oh, I have a pain here today. Oh, no, what if? And sometimes that's just the enemy just wanting to mess with you and put your head in a spin and bring fear. Ever been there? You know? And sometimes he wants us to have an attitude and you know, just to believe that what the enemy wants to do is make himself look real big and God look real small. And so if he can do that in any way by bringing fear, and that's really what fear does, right? Fear puts your eyes on the enemy and the situation, and it makes the enemy seem really big and God seem really small. And we forget who we are and where we come from. And if he can get you to live in a state of fear, you live in a state of defeat. But the truth is that you win. You are victorious because you belong to him. Amen? And it sounds so simple, but at the end of the day, it's just the truth. That is the truth. We win. We have all authority, and we have the victory is available to us. Freedom is available to us. And one of the biggest ways that we can walk in freedom is by knowing the truth. The Bible says that if you know the truth will set you free. Thank you, Jesus. So when we understand the truth that Jesus died for us, that He accomplished everything on the cross to defeat the enemy, to give us all authority, to give us all freedom, that we could be free from any sickness, any shame, any lie of the enemy, and be fully his. We need to understand that and believe it and take it to the bank and know that when next time we're feeling discouraged, next time we're struggling with our thought life, next time we're struggling with our marriage, whatever it might be, to say, okay, what is going on here? Is it spiritual? Is it not? Because how many know we can also get ourselves in lots of trouble without any demon? So, be aware. And so I just want to invite you to just bow your head and close your eyes this morning. And I want you to pray and just take a moment and ask God, is there some area in my life that I have opened to the enemy that I shouldn't have? And is there some area in my life that I'm struggling because of an open door? That I've left open, that I've given legal access.